give up. Because you have people that are just, they're just counting on you. You cannot give up. And because you have mercy. Amen. We've received, everybody say, we have received mercy. Because I have received mercy, I cannot give up. Amen. I've got to keep on because I received mercy. I did not deserve mercy. I did not merit mercy. But God had mercy on me. God saw my wretched condition. And I had no way out by myself. But the God of glory and the King of kings and the Lord of lords had mercy on me and reached down into my pitiful state and lifted me out of miry clay and set my feet on solid rock and put a song in my soul and cleansed away my sins and my stains and gave me purpose in my life and a reason to live. And because I have received mercy, I cannot give up. I must not faint. Amen. It's a rough way. It's a difficult journey. There are exits along the way. There are turnarounds. Amen. But we cannot give up. We must go on. We've got to go on because of what we left behind. Amen. I saw a sign one time at a church. It said, try Jesus. If you don't like Him, the devil will always take you back. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I didn't start this journey. I didn't just try Jesus. Amen. We used to sing a song that said, when you've tried everything, try Jesus. I didn't ever like that song because I think you ought to try Him first. Amen. I'm telling you, when you try Him first, He's everything that you'll ever need. There's nothing lacking in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so we left some things behind. He talks about them here in the next verse. He talks about leaving behind dishonesty. Aren't you glad you can be real today? You don't have to put on a different face for every person you run into. You don't have to be one way with one person and another way with another person, trying to squeeze yourself in the different crowds everywhere you go. But you can be the same day in and day out. You can just go ahead and be honest and be yourself. Thank God I said goodbye to dishonesty. I don't have to play at things anymore. I can be real. I can be genuine. I can just be myself because I finally found who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't have to be crafty anymore. Sneaky, sly, deceitful. Amen. Some of us used to be like that. Oh yeah, we did. Amen. You were always out to get something from somebody. And you would change into whatever it took to get what you wanted. You would say whatever you needed to say to get whatever your heart desired, because that was just your nature. But thank God, I have left craftiness behind. I have left deceitfulness behind. I don't have to be that way anymore.
No way.
Amen. I left blindness behind. Amen. I was blind. Praise God. You know, you have to be blind to things in the world. I couldn't help, Brother Marshall, when you told your story the other day, to think of the blindness of it. Brother Marshall was in the infantry, and he was in a tank. And when you fire in those things, you know, it gets real smoky in there. And you're getting all that smoke and all that junk in your lungs. And then they'd crawl out, and you know what he'd do? Light up a cigarette and put more smoke in his mouth. I thought, is that blindness? I mean, you escape from the smoke to smoke some more. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Who was it? Was it Ray Bolts? I think he wrote a song that said, "I got those 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, ain't never doing this again blues." You ever had that? 6 a.m. on a Sunday morning, ain't never doing this again blues. But you know what? You kept doing it. You know why? Because you were blind. And you people kept telling you, "This is a good time. Have another drink. This is a good time. Take another snort. This is a good time. Isn't this good? Have another shot. Isn't this wonderful?" Not really. But see, blindness, we were trapped in that. And that's what everybody kept telling us. We're having a great time, aren't we? Keep trying to convince yourself. And then when everything gets quiet, everything gets still, reality sets in. We think, "What did I do? Where have I been? What did I say? Amen. I left that all behind." I left darkness behind. And the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Amen. People like to drag you down into darkness because they want you to do the things they do. And if you do it in the darkness, it seems to be all right. Amen. But you know what? When Jesus came, you stepped into light. Praise God. And now you know who you are. And you know what you do. And you know what you do. It's either right or it's wrong. Amen. I know what I'm doing today. I know when I do the right thing. And I know when I do the wrong thing. And there is no doubt. Thank God for the light. Amen. I have a positive direction in my life. I know what's important now. I know what matters now. Thank God. You see, I've left some things behind. Brother Fry, that's why I can't stop.
That's right.
Amen. That's why I cannot faint. I can't lose heart. I can't give up because I left all that behind me.
Oh, amen.
I would be the biggest fool on earth to step out of light into darkness, into truth, and go back to deception. Amen. I cannot. I will not. I must not. I've got to go on from here. Amen. Verse number 7 said, I can't faint because I have a treasure. Hallelujah. The Bible said this treasure, the Holy Spirit of God, this treasure we have in this earthen vessel. Why would I want to trade this treasure for anything else? The Bible said the Holy Ghost, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy. Why would I want to trade righteousness for unrighteousness? Why would I want to give up peace for the chaos of the world? Why would I want to give up the joy of the Lord for the roller coaster ride of happiness and unhappiness, up and down? Why would I want to give that up today? I cannot go back because I have a treasure. I cannot give up because I am here with a purpose. And my reason for living is to glorify God. That's what I'm supposed to do. The Bible said that I'm supposed to cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh. And I'm supposed to glorify God who made me. It's not about us. Amen. We read books taking care of number one. Amen. Well, we should, but he's number one. You want to be happy? Learn who number one really is in your life. Praise God. I promise you one thing. You'll never make yourself happy. I know people, they're dying trying, but they've never made themselves happy. The more they get, the more unhappy they are. The more they accomplish, the more empty they are because they're chasing an illusion and they can never be fulfilled because we were created with a purpose and that purpose is to glorify God. Amen. When we lift God up, He lifts us up. Praise the Lord. And I'll promise you this, you certainly can't please somebody else. Oh, if I can just please my wife, or if I can just please my husband, I'll be happy. Good luck. Ain't going to happen. Amen. We cannot please people. Certainly not all the time. Amen. And then we cannot give up because we are resilient. Amen. Brother Davis, and I wish I knew it, he used to quote a poem about a whale that slapped this little ball. Little ball come floating around, and the whale went over and he slapped it with his mighty tail, and he knocked it way down deep under the water, and it comes bouncing back up. And he slaps it again, and boom, it goes under the water, and it bounces right back up. And he grabs it in his mouth, and he takes it down to the depth of the sea, down to the bottom, and he spits it out, and boom, it shoots back to the top. Amen. It's resilient. You can't put it down. Don't you like people like that? Amen. They're resilient. Life comes, it slaps them, knocks them down, they get up. Did you ever have one of those little clowns when you were a kid? And you punch him, pow, knocks him down, boom, he jumps right back up. Hit him again. He goes down and he gets right back up. You've got to have resilience. But because you have resilience, you don't stop. You don't give up. You don't turn around. You don't quit. You just keep right on going. Paul talks about that. Verse number 8. He said, we're troubled, but we're not distressed. I learned the difference between trouble and distress one time. I was mowing the lawn on a little lawn tractor at the church. And the mosquitoes were bad. And they were troubling me. They've been troubled by mosquitoes. Don't you hate? You know what? I've tried to sleep when there's mosquitoes buzzing. And I'm just thankful when they start biting and quit a buzzing. Just go ahead and suck the blood and shut up. It's all that buzzing that I can't take. I'd rather lose a little bit of blood and get a little itch and have to put up with the buzzing all night. Amen. But that's trouble. They were troubling me. I was slapping mosquitoes. I was thinking, these stupid mosquitoes, I wish they'd leave me alone. And about that time, one of those big, huge red wasps slapped me right between the shoulder blades. And I got distressed. That's the difference between trouble and distress. It's the difference between a mosquito bite and a big red wasp bite. When he hits you, all of a sudden you forget about mosquitoes. They don't even enter the picture anymore. Whoa! That'll wake you up. Amen. So I learned the difference between trouble and distress. Paul said that we are troubled, but not distressed. What that means is we're pressed, but we're not hemmed in. We always have a way out. Your life will try to, it will press you, but as a Christian, it can never hem you in. There's no reason for a Christian to ever get to the place where they say, I don't have a way out, because you do. The Scripture said that with every temptation, God will make a way of escape. You've just got to look for the door. You've got to look away from your troubles and away from your problems. And you've got to say, God, there's trouble over here. There's trouble over there. There's trouble out there. Where's the door? And God will always make a door. He promised He would. But you've got to look for it. Amen. You've got to look for it. Praise the Lord. He always will. Amen. So we're pressed, but we're not hemmed in. And then He said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. The word perplexed means at wit's end. You ever been there? Man, I'm at my wit's end. Somebody said, what is it? They said, I'm just at wit's end. I don't know what to do. You're getting on my, what is it? My last nerve. You ever been there? Somebody did because you laughed. All right. You have been in that spot. Where you're perplexed. You're at wit's end. Amen. But the thing is, you're not in despair. That means that you're not at hope's end. No matter how bad it gets, you have a hope. Amen. Praise God. If you're in prison, you've got a hope. Amen. If you're in the hospital, you've got a hope. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I'll ever get out of here. You will one way or the other. But the good thing is, as a Christian, you have hope. Amen. They may wheel my body out, but not my soul. That belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And when my body is decaying in the ground, my soul will be resting in His presence because I have hope. That's why we should not faint. That's why we should not turn around or give up, because we have hope. And then He said, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are persecuted by men, but not forsaken of God. Amen. People will persecute you. Amen. But God will not forsake you. We read of persecution all through the Scripture. People sometimes forget that. You know, people say, well, amen, I wish I could live when Jesus was on the earth. Really? A lot of martyrs back then. Praise God. And if you don't think you can make it now, you think you got it difficult now, if you can't stand any criticism now, if you can't stand opposition now, amen, it would have been really difficult back then. They were persecuted. He said, but we're not forsaken. Amen. Was it the psalmist said that when everybody forsakes me, He said, even my mother and my father forsake me. He said, the Lord will take me up. Amen. He's not ever going to leave me. And didn't He say that? I'll never leave you nor forsake you, though I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So, I can't quit. I can't faint. I can't stop, because I am not forsaken. And then He said, we're cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. I think it was Phillips' translation. He said, you're knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Praise God. You know, so have you been knocked down? Amen. And you're seeing stars, but you're not out. Praise the Lord. So He gets the adversary away long enough, and you stagger back on your feet. And you say, let me at him. Where is he? I see three. Which one is it? You've been knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Amen. You're ready to go another round. Praise God. Hallelujah. Vision clears and all of a sudden, bring it on. Amen. I can make it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So you make up your mind that you're going to make it through. Amen. I can't stop. I'm cast down. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I will get back. Amen. And I will go on. This will not stop me, nor turn me around. Amen. Praise God. I've been dealt some blows in the last 40-some years living for the Lord. Amen. I've been hit pretty hard a few times. Praise God. And a few times I almost thought, I don't know if I could get back up. But I did, and I thank God that I did. Amen. I looked at the options and I said, I don't have any. I'm not going back there, because I know what's back there. I've already left all that stuff. There's only one way for me to go, and that's forward. Amen. I'm not going back. Hallelujah. I got to go on. No matter how tough it may be at times. And then He tells us in verse number 10, praise the Lord. He said, always bearing in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So He said, I'm a citizen of two worlds. He said, I'm a citizen in a dying world, but I'm a citizen of a living world. Now, to understand that you're a citizen of a dying world, all you got to do is look in a mirror. Or comb your hair and watch the hair fall out. Amen. Look at the wrinkles. Some's got some. Amen. Amen. And feel the aches and the pains. You know? You're just kind of glad. Somebody asked one lady, she had lupus, and I said, how are you doing today, Sister Patty? She said, any day above ground's a good day. Amen. I said, well, that's all right. She understood that she lives in a dying world, but she lives in a living world. Amen. Praise God. My body is busy dying. Amen. But my new man is busy living. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said, we preach as dying men to dying men. We're people, all of us. Every breath you take is one breath closer to your last breath. Every time your heart beats, it's one heartbeat closer to your last heartbeat. And you can't stop them. Don't try. You'll accelerate the process. So keep breathing, even if you think it's going to bring you closer. Amen. Let the heart beat on. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? We live in a dying world. Somebody said, well, I'm going to serve God when I get old. Who said you're going to get old? If you'll go down to the funeral home, you'll see that they got little bitty boxes as well as big boxes. They got all kinds. You walk out to the cemetery and just read on each side of the dash. Sometimes it's the dash is always the same, but sometimes it's a long time, sometimes it's a short time. You don't know that. You don't know that. Don't put it off. Don't think, well, when I do this or I do that or I get here or I get there, or I've done this or I've done that, then I'll serve God. You may not. Let me ask you a question today. How would you find God if He decided not to let you find Him? Well, I'd go to church. He's here, but you may not feel it. Amen. You don't come to God when you choose. You come to God when He chooses. You don't come to God at your convenience. You come to God at His calling. And if He doesn't call, you can't come. And if He doesn't receive you, you can't get in. So don't deceive yourself into thinking that it's at your convenience when you come to God. Amen. We have to understand we are a citizen of two worlds. We're dying, but if we have God's Spirit, we're living. If you don't have God's Spirit, you're just dying. John said, if any man hath Christ, he hath life. If he hath not Christ, he hath not life. So it's really just that simple, folks. We're a citizen of two worlds. And then we can't quit because we have hope. Amen. I love hope. I'm so glad that I have hope today. And I never want to lose it. Somebody wrote a book several years ago about hope. They said that you can live 3 days without water. You may live 40 days without food. You may live 7 minutes without breath, but you can't live 1 second without hope. Do you know what is going to be the ultimate punishment of hell? It's because there's no hope there. It's not the fire. It's not the darkness. It's not the pain. It's the fact that there's no hope that it will ever change. If I knew that it was 1,000,000 years, I could say, and 1 year passes, I could say in 999,999 years, I'll be out of here. And there would be hope. But you see, there's no hope. Amen. But you know what? I have hope today. And that's why I can't stop this journey. Why would I trade a journey with hope for a journey with no hope? Why would I change a destination with hope for one that has no hope? Hope. That's why I can't turn around, because I have this beautiful hope. Verse number 14, he said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's what he's saying. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know one thing, that if the rapture comes, I'm getting out of here. But if I die before the rapture comes, I'm still getting out of here. Hallelujah. Because if the Spirit that was in Christ dwells also in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. The word quicken means make alive. So God's Spirit in us gives us a hope of a resurrection and a life that we're going to enjoy. Verse number 15. I can't turn around because I have an abundant grace. Oh, I love the grace of God. I've struggled with trying to find the definition for that word. I'm not satisfied, but I know a lot more than I did. They used to tell me it meant unmerited favor. That was really good, but it wasn't enough. It's got to mean more than that. It's got to be more than that. I think that grace is very active. Very active. The Apostle Paul came a lot closer. He helped me more than anybody in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 or chapter 12 when he said this. He said, "Unless I be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, this sickness, this thorn in the flesh, he said, thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me." Verse 9, he said unto me, and this is what the Lord said. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He did not pull out the thorn. He did not give him relief. He did not diminish the pain. But he said, "Instead of relief, instead of healing, I'm going to give you grace." He didn't ask for grace. He asked for healing. God said, "I'm going to give you grace." That's God's option and God's prerogative. He decides how He's going to answer your prayer. He will answer, but He decides how and when. So Paul said, "God, I want you to take away the thorn." God said, "Uh-uh. This thorn is doing you a world of good. You don't see it. You don't know it. But it's helping you, Paul. It's keeping you grounded. It keeps you centered. It makes you needy. So you don't get lifted up and fall away." So he said, "You need a thorn. But I'm not just going to give you a thorn. I'm going to give you grace." Hallelujah. Amen. Was Paul upset because of that? Did he get upset with God and say, "What a way to treat me"? Oh, no, 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 no. Here's what he said. In the verse number, he goes on to the latter part of the verse. He says, "Most gladly, therefore." Everybody say, "Gladly." Everybody say, "Gladly." Everybody say, "Gladly." "Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Hallelujah. Paul understood the value of grace. Amen. I pray for that kind of maturity. That when I have trouble, I'll not see it as a defeat. But when God gives me grace, I'll understand that grace is sufficient. No matter what I find myself in, grace is sufficient. There's nothing in this world that can overpower God's grace. Amen. So when I get weary and I feel like I'm going to faint, I can't faint. I got to keep on. I can't lose heart. I got to keep on because I have grace. He said, "My grace is sufficient." Amen. Praise God. We have renewal. He renews us day by day. Amen. The Bible said this outward man, he's perishing. But the new man, every day, he's renewed. That's why we pray every day. That's why we read the Word of God every day. That's why we focus on Jesus Christ every day. Because you see, that's what renews me. That's what makes me go on. Amen. Praise God. And I understand that all of this right here is temporary. Amen. You look around you, and this whole world is temporary. Amen. And sometimes we look at stuff and we think it's really important. But it's not important. I don't think there's anything that quite does that for me like a garage sale. Amen. We had a garage sale one time. And this lady brought this stole animal. I don't know what kind of animal it was. It had long since lost its identity. And, you know, a lot of it was missing. A lot of hair was gone. There were some bald spots. Amen. And she was determined that stole was worth a lot of money. She said, "Now, brother, this is going to make you a lot of money. I'm going to donate this. It's going to make you a lot of money. Because my husband paid a lot of money for this." Well, he may have, but it was a long time ago. And it's very temporary. And the poor guy has been dead so long that all of his hair is falling out. And he's got bald spots all over. And I don't care how much your husband paid 50 years ago. It's not worth much now. Amen. You see what? That's life, isn't it? We go and oh, this is beautiful. I've got to have it. Ah, look how beautiful it is. And then just a few years removed, this piece of junk, I'm just going to throw it into the garage sale. Amen. Neil's accepted. I'm sorry. I still hate to think about that. They didn't donate it on purpose, but bless their heart, they did. Praise God. And so that's life. Everything is temporal. Everything. I remind myself of that. I do. When I get ready to buy a car, and I get a car in my eyes, and I think, gotta have that. And I think, you know what? In 5 years, it'll be almost worth nothing. Anybody testify to that tonight? You tried to sell one 5, 10, 15, 20 years old? It don't matter how much you paid for it. It reaches a place where it almost is worth nothing. That's temporal. That's the world we live in. But I tell you what, on the other hand, there are some things that are eternal right here, right now. Amen. The Bible said the things that we see are temporal. The things that we cannot see, they're eternal. Amen. And that's why I've got to go on. There are some things worth living for. I can't see them, but they're worth living for. Let's stand together today. Amen. Praise God. I can't stop. I can't faint. Amen. I cannot. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't know if I can make it." Let me tell you how to make it. I've used this illustration in times past, but please allow me to do it again. I could take a small, fragile thread in my own hands, and I could break it in two pieces or more pieces because I have the strength to break the thread. But if you take that very same weak and fragile thread and you take a mighty chain and you weave that thread through the links of the chain until it becomes one with the chain, then it can no longer be broken because the thread is not alone, but it has taken on the strength of the chain. And so now you can't divide one from the other, and you cannot break the thread because you cannot break the string. The only way you can break the thread is if you can separate it from the chain. And that's what happens when you get in God. And when His Spirit gets into you, He becomes one with you. You become one with Him. And the devil can no longer separate. And as long as you stay in God, You cannot be broken. Because you, the fragile thread, take on the strength of the mighty chain. The human takes on the strength of the divine. And you cannot be broken. What you've got to do is stay in Jesus. Don't let anything separate you. Don't let anything separate you. You hear me today. Life is going to have some real difficulties. There are going to be a few times in your life that you're going to have to make some really hard decisions. There are going to be some times that you're going to be knocked so low that it's going to seem like the best option is to give in and give up. But you've got to remember that as long as I'm one with Him, I cannot be broken. But if I separate myself, then I can be easily destroyed. Amen. Don't let anything take you away from the grace of God. Amen. Oh, it's vital today. That's how you keep from fading along the way. Praise God. Thank you for your time. We've tarried a little long this morning. But I invite you for a season of prayer. If you haven't made your mind up today, it's decision time. If you haven't fully been persuaded today, there's no time like the present to make up your mind. If you have not joined Jesus Christ, opened your life and allowed Him to fill you with the power of His Holy Spirit, there's no time like right now. Amen. And so I invite you, this altar is open for prayer this morning, and I encourage you, I urge you, amen, I beseech you, come, amen, and just spend a little time in His presence. Hallelujah.